Here's a story by Con McGrath. It's entitled Role of the Irish in World War II. From 1942 to the end of the war, Kay Somerby served as a chauffeur, aide and secretary to General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the Allied Supreme Commander in the lead-up to D-Day. Somersby, in 1948, in the memoir of those years, tells the inside story of a military command from a woman's point of view. She offered a portrait of General Eisenhower as few could see him, continuously at moments of tension, making good decisions during long hours of routine work and while he relaxed at bridge or horseback riding. Somersby was born Catherine Helen McCarthy Morrock at Innes Bay House on the 23rd of November 1908. She was the daughter of Andrew F. and Vera McCarthy Morrott. Their mother was born in Wales, while her father, originally from County Kerry, was a retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Royal Munster Fusiliers. In her 1948 memoir, she recalled, "Nothing in childhood had prepared me for wartime London. I led what is commonly known as a sheltered life. Our home, Innisbeg, was a somewhat run-down estate on a small but lovely emerald island in a river in County Cork. Our favourite pastime, I had a brother and three sisters, was to sail down that river 4 miles to the Atlantic. There was a succession of governesses, hunts, spatting parents, riding in the fields, and along the long avenue fringed with old trees. The only tragedy which could betide life in those days was a sudden Irish thundershower, because it might spoil my lovely tennis party. Moving to London, she worked for a period as an extra at the film studios just outside London. She recollected, inevitably, there was marriage, a dismal failure. By 1939, I was a mannequin at Worth's of Paris, near Grosvenor Square. As the war clouds grew blacker, I felt more and more ridiculous, modelling exquisite clothes, pretending that everything was the same. In late August, I gave notice of my intention to leave, and on September 4, the day after hearing Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain broadcast a declaration of war, I walked out of that life forever. The nearest service was a motor transport corps. I joined up immediately. I drove an ambulance through the Blitz in 1940 and 1941. It was sheer hell, living and driving there, working in a bomb-made hell. Blood and death became as commonplace as a cigarette. I remember houses razed to the ground, yet alive with cries of the wounded and buried. When the United States joined the Allies after the German declaration of war in December 1941, Somersby was one of the many MTC drivers assigned as chauffeurs to high-ranking American military officers. She was assigned to drive Major General Dwight Eisenhower when he arrived in London in May 1942. Eisenhower was put in charge of the Allied forces in North Africa on November 1942. On the journey out, Kay survived the torpedoing of the troopship Strathallan to arrive in North Africa a few weeks after the Allied landing. She saw the bitter days of Kasserine pass in Tunisia, brought about by Rommel's counterattack. Apparently, everybody wanted to meet the tall, lean, animated County Cork girl who was Ike's chauffeur. In the summer of 1943, General George Patton invited her and the WRC Ruth Briggs, General Beetle Smith's secretary, over to Sicily for lunch. We found General Patton enthroned in a palace once occupied by the King of Sicily. Ruth and I turned down the famous Patton 75, a suicidal highball of champagne, brandy, and possibly other disastrous mixtures. Lunch consisted of GI food and shop talk. The major topic of discussion in army circles at this time was the storm of controversy Patton had caused in August the 3rd, 1943, by slapping a soldier. While visiting seriously wounded troops, Patton encountered a soldier who explained he was suffering with his nerves. Patton was furious, believing the soldier to be an individual who was only freighting illness in order to avoid combat duty. Patton proceeded to slap the soldier and call him a coward. Needless to say, Patton got into a huge controversy, and General Eisenhower ordered him to apologize to the soldier in question and to all those present at the time. While many would be afraid to even breathe in the presence of Patton, this Cork lady appears to have had no qualms about bringing up this controversial issue with a fearsome commander. She recorded, "I simply had to ask him about the slapping incident. General," Patton sadly remarked, "I always get in trouble with my goddamn mouth." At the same time, he shouted at the top of his squeaky voice, "But if this sort of thing ever comes up, I'd do it again." Her memoir also recalls her introduction to President Franklin Roosevelt and his son Elliot when they arrived for the Cairo conference. The president spoke in a tone I haven't heard since childhood. "See you tomorrow, child." Elliot and Franklin stepped up as I moved away to drive General Eisenhower back to the Hopkins Villa. "Come on back here," Franklin whispered. Elliot nodded. "We're having a little party tonight, and it might take your mind off things." After the liberation of Paris, Ike and his staff settled down at Versailles. While Ike directed the critical Battle of the Bulls, Kay discloses he was a virtual prisoner of his own security officers in his headquarters. Army intelligence had captured a German officer dressed in a US uniform. He confessed that he was one of the band of 60 Nazi heading for Versailles to assassinate Ike. Kay apprehensively recounts, "The normal guard was doubled, trebled, quadrupled. The sound of a car exhaust was enough to halt works in every office and to start in a flurry of telephone calls to her office to inquire if the boss was all right. Ike was not allowed to stick his nose outside the compound. Finally he did, grumbling, 'Hell's fire, I'm going out for a walk. If anyone wants to shoot me, he can go right ahead.'" In May the 7th, 1945, German General Joel, who was later hanged, and his colleague arrived at Supreme Headquarters to surrender. As Kay recalls the scene, "I felt a shiver of excitement. I shoved the general's dog, Tilak, under the desk, commanding him not to bark. The Nazis marched straight by without so much as a glance, sour-faced, glum, erect, and despicable. They came to a parade ground halt, clicked their heels, and saluted. General Eisenhower stood stock still, more military than I've ever seen him. His voice was brittle. When it was over, the general half bowed, saluted, did an about-face and marched back past my desk and out of the office. General Ike's face was stretched into the broadest grin of his career. He was so happy. Kay, with the help of Eisenhower, became a U.S. citizen and a commissioned officer in the U.S. Women's Army Corps, that's the WACS, ultimately leaving the service as a captain in 1947. Captain Summersby's military awards include the Legions of Merit, Women's Army Corps Service Medal, European Campaign Medal, World War II Victory Medal, and the Army of Occupation Medal with a German clasp. She died of cancer in Southampton, Long Island, New York, on the 20th of January 1975, and her ashes were brought back to County Cork. This is Barry Mack.